am thankful to God for every day, no matter what kind of thing is going on, and I just bless his name for all that he does. Amen. So happy that you have chosen to be here. We do have a good topic of study that we'd like to talk about with you today, and so we're going to ask you to get your Bible and take a look at, just take a look at Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to talk about a few things there in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, to kind of connect a few dots on some things we've been talking about over the past several lessons, and just some things that I've been meditating on for some time here. We want to just get into that a little bit here today to help you perceive a few things that kind of consolidate some of the information we've been talking about in our lessons as we've been going along. And if you haven't, just so you know, in case you're tuning in for the first time, if you haven't listened to those messages, you can go back online or on our website at teachingbible.org and pick those up. And they're still there on the website at teachingbible.org or here on Facebook. Amen. So we're going to go right ahead, as it is our custom, and get started with a word of prayer. Lord God, we bless your name. Father, we give you praise. We lift you up. We exalt you because your name is excellent and you are worthy to be praised. Father, we thank you for just blessing us, oh God, throughout all this day and carrying us from the Lord's day till today. And Father, we have needed you every second of every day. And so, Father, it's a wonderful thing that we might be able to call upon your name. And so, Father, we want to give you praise and lift you up in the highest. We want to thank you, Lord God, for keeping us moving forward, Lord God, and keeping our minds focused on good things. Father, we want to confess our sins for things that we didn't do that weren't so good, Lord God, throughout that time. And you said in your word that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, wash us again today, fresh in the word of God, Lord God, and in the blood of Jesus. So, Father, we want to thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we thank you for all the people that you have connected to us, oh God, in this spiritual family that you call the church. And, Father, we want to thank you even for those that are listening today who don't really understand how to connect with you, Lord God, and we pray for them right now at this moment that whoever it is, that you will let them know before this message is done exactly what they need to do in order to connect with you and know that they're saved, to have the comfort of being saved and washed in the blood of your son, Jesus, and the fact that you gave him just for them so that they can know for sure that you have accepted them and that they have eternal life. Bless us today, oh God. Bless your word as it goes forth. If anybody is praying right now with me that has a certain need, Lord God, you know what it is. And so we cast all our care upon you right now, Lord God, and we ask that you deal with every situation that we are going through, Father, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory. And we ask this, that you would bless this word that we're about to receive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for giving us that great and awesome privilege to call upon his name. Amen. So let's take a look here. Let me just give you some idea of what I'm talking about, because it may seem abstract to you if you have not been around for some of the previous lessons. Many of you have, and so I know you'll understand exactly what I'm saying. And so just for a little bit of a precursor for people who might just now be listening today for the first time, we've been talking about some things over the past few weeks. And we like to have connected ideas as we go through the lesson so that we can build on what you already know. And that's the whole objective that we like to call being a disciple, is that we are learners. A disciple is just a word that means learners. You and I are learning how to do things another way, a better way. We're learning how to do it a biblical way, a way that glorifies God and gives grace to others in our lives. And I'm going to talk about that a little more today, because that's what I really got kind of somewhat convicted about, is how we handle the stuff we learn and what we know versus other people who are in our lives or somewhere in our life somewhere. God, you may have a relative, a neighbor, a friend, a relative, even an enemy somewhere in your life, a co-worker, somebody of that sort who you don't have the smoothest of relationships with, or they may be into a situation that you might deem to be something that's sinful, for example, or that it may be that they are just mean, or there's a lot of different kinds of things and ways people can be. And part of this discipleship thing is getting a grip on what God would have you to do in every situation. And so that's what I want to talk about, because I think this is what we're going to need in these last and evil days in order to help people, to assist people in getting saved and also in growing in their faith. I believe a lot of what we do drives people away in a lot of cases. If we're not very careful and not very prayerful, sometimes what we do, the actions we take, the words we say, the attitudes that we speak words in and things of that sort, I have a lot of trouble with that. I'm going to go right on record and let you know, because sometimes you walk around with your heart on your sleeve, so to speak. In other words, something will hit you a certain way and you respond immediately. And it may not be that you thought about it well enough to know that you should make a different kind of response. And sometimes we have regret even, and that's another possible problem. So all of these things we're talking about have been dealing with making you and I better people in general. That's why Jesus came. He came to model what a perfect human being is like. And you know what? That's the only model that we have. There are no other models in the Word. There's no models in our lives. There's some people we think, oh, these people here are really nice, or they're really good, or we may have a parent or a grandmother, and we say, oh, she was a godly woman. But we know that everybody has problems. Every one of us has difficulties. So we've been talking about that somewhat indirectly. And let me just say this, too, while we're on this, I might as well get all these points out there. We spent an entire year, and we weren't on Facebook Live at that time. We were just preaching in the church. But we spent an entire year talking about a subject of living life in a year without fear. How can you go through the year without fear? Some of the members who are listening tonight, you know what I'm talking about because you were there. But some of the other people listening may not. So we talked about that because fear is a big, difficult thing to deal with. Fear drives us into a lot of situations, and we need to be able to understand that. How do you deal with it? And we talked about it on different aspects for an entire year, if you can believe that. And it was not a boring thing. It was very interesting throughout the year to have different topics pertaining to how to live a year without fear. And I think God was preparing us for different times and better times and more difficult times, like some of the stuff that went on in 2020 and some of the stuff that's going on in 2021. And so we're beginning to see that those messages that God teaches. And that's basically what discipleship is learning from Jesus directly. And we talked about that in a previous lesson. We were talking about Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. And we said that he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus said, "Come to me and I'm going to teach you, hook up with me," is the way we might say it modernly. "And I'm going to show you how to do these things. I'm going to show you how to get through. I'm going to give you power to do what you're supposed to do. I'm going to give you authority over stuff that otherwise you would not have the authority, that would defeat you. I'm going to be there with you." He said this to his disciples when he sent them out in Matthew 28:18. He said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." That's because Jesus had come from heaven, equal and cold, face to face with God the Father in eternity past. I had fulfilled the scriptures, came into the world in order to take on a human body, to go through the entire birth process. Y'all hear me say this often. And he grew up in the world just like we did, and he did all of this without sin. And he modeled everything that a perfect human being does. And, you know what? That's the only model that we really truly have. There have been no other models who have modeled total perfection for me and you. Nobody but Jesus. And so this is why Jesus is the most important individual in human history, and he's one of a kind because he's also the only one who has defeated the devil. He's defeated death. He's defeated the grave. He has defeated every negative obstacle and anything that you could imagine that would ever be against humanity. And so he is the focal point, and this is why all the cults try to get you off of Jesus. They want to say, oh, there's no J in the Greek, for example, but they don't say anything about Jacob, Jeremiah, on and on and on, all the other J people in the Bible. They only want to pick on Jesus because he's the focal point of everything that the devil hates. But he is also the focal point of everything that God loves. And so God has said, fix your eyes on Jesus in the book of Hebrews chapter 12. The author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. So in other words, Jesus came to model for us how a perfect human being would live and give us an example of what it means. And so that's what I want to really talk with you about. Now, some of the previous lessons we had have been these, and I'm just going to review these before we read Matthew 7. You can go ahead, and I'm not going to read all of Matthew 7. Let's just go to verse 7, Matthew 7 and 7. But I want you to see that one of the messages we talked about sometime back in February early was life in the paradox of being saved. Because here we are now, we're called to be disciples of Jesus Christ. We're still sinful. We got sinful stuff that we have to deal with. The Master has called us. He has given us faith to believe in him, that he is able to set us before God without a spot or a blemish, that he is perfect, and that by our relationship with him, we can be saved, and only by our relationship with Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, who came out of eternity equal with God in order to give wretches like us perfect standing in the sight of God. And we talked about that on last week's lesson, that Jesus has provided what the scripture says is the atonement. Atonement means to set us at right with God as though we never sinned. That's what atonement literally means. I mean, there's a lot of aspects of atonement, but the purpose of the Christ, the Messiah, was to come to set whoever believes in him, that's what the gospel is, in right standing with God entirely. So the moment you get saved, Jesus sets you in right standing with God. He cleans up your whole account. That doesn't mean we instantly stop sinning. That's the sad part. But he says, call men and women to believe the gospel. And it's gospel because it's such good news that God has loved us and given his son Jesus to cleanse us so that we can stand before him without a spot or a wrinkle. See? But then he begins to practically clean me and you up. He begins to clean up our lives, to teach us how to be righteous, to teach us how to be pure, to teach us how to be holy. And those are the farthest things away from how we are. Now, some of y'all are saying, oh, well, maybe that's you, Pastor. That could be me. I'm pretty far down the road, let me say. But God has brought me pretty far up the road, and he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's where I wanted you to see there in Matthew 28:18. All power is given to me in heaven and earth. That means there is no power anywhere that does not belong to Jesus. Because he earned it, he came into the world, he fulfilled the scriptures for God the Father and for you and me, and he is the only acceptable mediator between God and men. And that's why the scripture says there's one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ. And so he is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6 says. And no one can come to the Father except by him. God has made that statement. He has made him both Lord and Christ, it says in Acts 2. So there's no other person that can get you straight with God, and there is only one, and he gets you perfectly straight with God. That's what we call atonement, and that means he covers us with the blood that he shed. He covers us with the perfect life that he lived. He covers us with his love, his mercy, his grace, and he covers us with the Holy Spirit, who also gives us knowledge. See, when we trust Christ, the Holy Spirit is given to each person who believes in him. That's God's seal that he puts upon you in accordance to, with, let's say, Ephesians 4:30. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God wherewith you have been sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, when you believe Christ, God seals you with the Holy Spirit, and you have been set up for the day of redemption. But it's possible that the Spirit could be grieved. Now, you know what? If there's any grief in the Holy Spirit, let's go on and say this, and this helps us get where we want to be. It's not coming from Jesus' end of the deal, because Jesus is 100% spotless and perfect, and that's why he satisfied God all by himself, and that's what the prophets had said, like Isaiah 53:12, if you want a verse for that, write it down and read it. It says that my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. And he's talking about how Messiah would come and set the account straight. In other words, at one with God. That's what atonement means. You've been taken out of darkness into his marvelous light, the scripture says in one place. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved son. All those verses are about atonement. Even, let's say Romans 8, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. That's atonement, brothers and sisters. See, Jesus covers you and puts you in that right standing with God. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. See, and so many places in the Bible, it talks about that oneness that is given to us by grace through faith. Ephesians 4 and 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. See, and so we're in Christ. And when we are in Christ, God has seen us as perfect in his sight. And that's what it means to receive the atonement. Look at 1 John 2:27. Make a note and read that. And it talks about how we have an anointing from the Holy One, and we all know. And so we have no need for anyone to teach us, but the anointing that God has given you, which is his Holy Spirit in you, he will teach you, and he will teach you all things. See that? So that's where we are now. So we were talking about the paradox, life in the paradox of being saved, back in February on February 7th, if you want to look that up. And we were saying that it's a paradox because even though we have been established as being saved, that one with God, at the one moment when you trust Christ, the Bible says, whosoever believes in the name of the Son of God shall not be put to shame. See, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, which is the name of Jesus, shall be saved. The scripture is very clear about that. One way to be saved. And so we want to be explicit about that. And that's the biggest thing that is militated against by all false cults, false religions, atheists, all kinds of people. They're all against Christ. Even, and I don't have time to delineate that. We could spend the whole evening talking about false cults that denigrate Christ into something less than what the Bible says he is. And so there's only one way to be right, and that is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And whoever receives that shall be saved. That's why it says, I'm going to go to one more here before we get to the Matthew 7. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's Romans 8, 29. Verse 28 says, for we know that God works all things together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. See, that for whom he did foreknow. In other words, God chose us. He loved us before he created us. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And those whom he predestined, these he also called. God called us. We didn't call him. We weren't looking for him. The Bible says, no man seeketh after God. So God called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He woke us up one day, and he might be waking you up right now, and I hope he is, because he loves you. And if you don't know, if you don't love him back, it's something wrong on your end, not on his end. That's the point I need you to see. Because he loves you just exactly the way you are. He gave Jesus, and he shed just as much blood for you as he did for me and everybody else to save. And if you will trust him today, he will save you right now. I want to let you know. There is no hesitance on God's part to save you if you believe in Christ. And that's why he sent Christ. And you know what God did? The Bible says this too. He decided that by the foolishness of preaching, that he would save those who believe. And that's why we preach. That's one of the greatest motivations for me to preach. And get so that people who do not know God can understand he loves you right where you are, just like you are. And he loves you too much to leave you like you are. So when you start to trust him and walk by faith and not by sight, start to get into his word, start to be his disciple, start to love him as much as you can and let him increase that love through grace and through faith. As you develop and cultivate the relationship, then you're going to start to see growth in your own life. You're going to start to see some changes in the way you think. You're going to start to see some changes in the way you react to things. You're going to start to have some comfort about things in your life that otherwise would trouble you and give you all kinds of fears and dark thoughts. You're going to start to have some resistance against lies, against intimidation, against the devil, against false religion and cults and all of that. God is going to strengthen you, and he will give you the peace that you need. And the Bible says he gives us a peace that passeth all understanding. You won't even understand, why do I feel so good about this situation? And it looks like there's an impending trouble. And so these are the kind of things that only God can do for you. You know what I can? I don't ever take credit for any of it. I just preach. God called me to preach, to tell you that he loves you just like he is. He's given Jesus to settle your account. And it's the moment that you receive. And the Bible says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. See, so don't harden your heart. Receive the grace of God. Receive Jesus, God's Son. Believe that God has raised him from the dead, and you shall be adopted by God into his family, and he will continue to love on you. Now, let me back up a little right here, and we're going to get to this text, y'all. Y'all know who I am. I'm wrapped up here. The fact is, he loved you, and he's been keeping you all the time in your life, even when you weren't thinking about him. He's been loving on you before you were conceived. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. He told the Apostle Paul, I separated you from your mother's bowels to be the apostle to the Gentiles, to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. Paul, boy, that really blew his mind. What? I don't even like Gentiles, he was probably thinking, because he went out and tried to kill them. He was killing them. He was approving Stephen being stoned in the book of Acts, chapter 7. See, Paul had he was not only, did I not like you, but I'm going to do something about it. I don't just not like you, I'm going to take you out. That's the way he was. And if you're not a Jew, oh no, you got to go. What do you mean, Jesus to Christ, the way? He was against it. He was a vile persecutor against God who had sent his son. And God told him as he turned him around, just like I hope he'll do you tonight. And if he hasn't, and if you're already saved, I hope he will strengthen your confidence tonight. So you know he has called you for a reason and a purpose. You have a reason and a purpose why God has called you. See? And if you got to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Don't even listen. You know, you have people in your life who will discourage you from what God has called you to do. And you got to get to the place where you live, as we said, in a year without fear, where we say, okay, later for that, I'm listening to the one, the Almighty, who gave the Son. He loved me so much that he gave Jesus in order to direct my path. That's why I like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Y'all hear it a lot. Yeah, when I preach it, he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. God says, acknowledge me in all your ways. Now, you know what that really means? And this is going to get us where we're trying to get here tonight. The thing is, some of my ways are not all that great. How about you? Where do you stand on that one? Do you do everything right? I don't. I'm sorry to have to say, do you not make mistakes? Do you not make errors? Do you not blab stuff out of your mouth? And are you sorry when you heard it or what damage it did? Things of that sort. But you know what? The Bible says in all your ways, acknowledge him. You know, some of your ways are not going to be great. Some of them are defective. That's why James said stuff like be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. That's a skill, my brothers and sisters. You're going to have to pray on that one. Because you know what? So many times somebody will say something to you and immediately right out of your mouth you say something, you're sorry you said. And so we got to learn those things. This is the kind of thing that discipleship teaches us. But God said in all your ways, acknowledge him. That means when I do something like that and I know it's wrong, what do? I confess it to God. And I ask God to forgive me and correct me and to cleanse me and to mold me and to shape me and help me. Put me in check, God. Help me to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Because I know that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. How do I know that? That's what your word says. And so we got to start to process what the word says. God is helping us. That's what Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm not going to cast you out. He said, whosoever comes to me, I will no wise cast him out. See, so he already knew I had baggage when he called me. He knew you had baggage. He knew you got some issues. You got some stuff that's not right. You got a bunch of stuff you don't even realize is twisted. All of us are like that. And so the truth is, he said, I'm taking you just like you are, just as we use this analogy before. If he was at an adoption agency and he came and he picked you and you and you, I want to pick 10 kids today and I'm going to take them and raise them. I don't want this one here, that one there, and these three over there, and these two brothers and sisters over there. And he picks them all. He takes them home just like they are. And you know what? However they are, that's the way they are. This is how the family of God is. God picks you. He chooses you. Jesus in John 15, 16, you did not choose me. I have chosen you. And I ordained you. See, God says, I chose you. You were not the one picking, I picked you. If you believe me, it's because I chose you. And so he found us or chose us in him, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, from the foundation of the world. Put that in your mind and think about it for a while. The fact that he loved you even before you were ever even a gleam in your father's eye, before you were ever conceived, I already knew you. And I ordained you, and I got blessing for you already laid up. And I understand all the defectiveness you've been through. I understand all the evil stuff that happened to you. I understand everything that has ever disappointed you. I understand everything that you hate. We don't want to use that word much. I understand everything that's twisted about you that needs fixing. And I chose you anyway. I gave my son for you to die for you, to cover you for whatever your problem is. Now, when we receive that, you know, when all of us individually normally say, oh, God, thank you that you did that for me. You love me that much that you knew I was a wretch, undone. You know I still am having problems right now with certain things in my life, but you love me anyway. Hallelujah. That's what you ought to say right there. Thank you, Lord. That's where we ought to be right there. But the fact is, he said, I'm putting up with it because I'm going to disciple you. I'm going to teach you to yoke up with me and learn from me. Matthew 11:28. But my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why is it easy? Because I already paid the bill. I've already set your account straight with Almighty God. God's already happy with you. He doesn't see it at all. I got you covered. That's what Jesus is saying. But so now how do we do? And this is what this lesson is really about. Another one I told you, another lesson we said we should be taking it personally. Take your discipleship personally. Understand that it is not a distant thing. It's not a Sunday thing, a Wednesday thing, a here and there thing. It's your life. This is how I live. I got to live this way throughout my life, knowing that God has blessed me, given his son to be crucified on a tree for me, raise him out the grave so not even the ugliness and the fear of death have to trouble me or bother me. Yes, I will die at some point unless he returns and he's promised I'm coming back. And are you ready? When the trumpet sounds and the dead are raised incorruptible, it says that we shall all be changed in 1 Corinthians 15. And so God says, I'm preparing a people for my own possession. I'm preparing a church without a spot or a wrinkle. So he's working on cleaning us up. And the truth is, we need to meditate. We need to take all that personally and really apply it to our lives. Then we talked about this past week, learning patience through everyday trials. And that's a big subject because we all have difficulties. We have trials. We have tribulations. We have some good stuff, too. Sometimes good stuff gets you in trouble, too. You know that? It doesn't have to be bad stuff. Sometimes we get into too much of a good thing, and it takes us off the track, and now we don't think about God anymore because I'm involved in a good thing over here. And it sucks up all my time, sucks up my treasure, sucks up my talents, and I'm unavailable for God now because I'm having a good time over here, or I'm doing well in this business or in this or that. So good stuff can get you off the track. And the devil don't care which way I get you off the track, good stuff or evil stuff. Either one, whichever one you take, I'll get you off the track and get you out of the church and get you away from the Bible and get you out of Jesus the Christ and get you off your knees so you don't pray. See? And we get hung up in it, and we need to learn patience through everyday trials. The things that we go through today, there are so many different things, and we talked about this briefly, and then we're going to finally get over here to Matthew 7. We were talking about how God picks all these odd characters in the Bible. The book of Judges is amazing. Read that sometime. Want to read something strange? It's beautiful. It's awesome, but you look at the people in there, you go, man, these people are very strange. Why would God pick somebody like Jephthah? And bless him and all of that. And why would he pick somebody, all these people? Gideon, we mentioned him. Very odd kind of people there. But God picked them. He loved them. He set his affection on them. And he had a purpose and a plan for their life. Rahab, we mentioned it on Sunday. The harlot, wow, why'd you pick her? You know why? Because God will pick anyone. Doesn't make any difference what you're involved in right now. God says, I can break the yokes of whatever it is off of you that has you bound in sin, or whatever it is. He blessed Samson before he was born. And Samson ended up being very decadent throughout his life. You can read about that in the book of Judges. These are just people in the book of Judges, some of them. And some of them in Joshua, different places in the Old Testament. But I just want you to see that he gives you a book of odd people, many cases. Very few had a pretty clean slate like Job and Joseph, people like that. And but even them, they had trouble. They had trials. They had difficulties. They had setbacks. People betrayed them. All kinds of different stuff happened. They lost great possessions. Their finances were destroyed and broken down, and the devil attacked them on every side. All of that, but God brought them through. Perseverance by faith. And so, in other words, and they had to endure all of that. And some of that is what we want to talk about here today. The fact that when we learn patience through everyday trials, God is teaching us and moving us into a deeper relationship with Him, teaching us how to walk by faith. In other words, faith, the Bible says, is the substance of the things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. In other words, God says, I promised you all these things, and I'm giving you faith to trust me that I will deliver. No matter what it is, I will deliver. I will not fail. And you can count on it. And you can just press right on. So let's look at this. I want to talk with you today just about developing a proper attitude toward others. And that's just kind of the simple nutshell of what we're saying, developing a proper attitude toward others. And I want you to see just a couple of things. Matthew 7:7, Jesus says this. He's speaking here in a portion of what we call the Sermon on the Mount. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Okay, so I want you to see that. We call that the golden rule. That's the famous name for that last verse, Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things. Notice that. That covers everyday life. All things whatsoever. That means anything and everything in your whole life. Whatsoever ye, that means all of you. That's one thing I like about the old KJV, that ye means is plural. For you, in other words, all of you, we would say y'all, all y'all today, just to use some common English. He says, therefore, all things whatsoever y'all would do that men should do to y'all or to you, each one of you individually, do ye. That means all of y'all do this even so to them, he says. And for this is the law and the prophets. So, really, we could reduce it down. I told you this before, and some of you may have heard it, some of you not. We have people that write laws, supposedly, in Washington. And they'll come out with a bill, and it's this thick, 7,427.5 pages. And they say, oh, this is a law, really? Okay, well, who's going to read that, and who knows all what's in that thing? And you know what? It doesn't work, because the next time they write one this thick, and nobody can read it. And it's got all kinds of junk in it that has nothing to do with what it makes any sense. And so we keep doing that. We keep making more laws. We got to have people all around the clock making laws and doing different stuff. And I'm not trying to say law is bad in the sense, but in some sense it is if it gets a little carried away like what we do in modern times. This is the most simple law that I have ever read. And Jesus just said, very simply, Matthew 7:12, therefore, all things whatsoever, that means anything that you can think of in your life, anything going on in your life, anything about your everyday life, anything about your past, your history, your present, your future, any of that, and whosoever, he says, whatsoever things ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Now, that's pretty basic. Treat people the way you would like to be treated in a situation. That's pretty basic. Well, I don't need to write big stacks of junk for that, do I? If I just treat you the same way I would want you to treat me, we'll get along just fine. You know what? Same thing with God. Become clean with God. God knows all about us. Knows everything about us. He knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Sometimes that's a scary thought, but it shouldn't be. Because he's saying, even though I know everything about you, I still love you and I gave my son for you to get that relationship going. So I can adjust what you think about me, and not only what you think about me, but what you think about others. And it doesn't make any difference who they are. Does it make any difference if they're your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, or if they're your enemies, your boss, or the government? Does it make a difference? Treat them the way you want to be treated. That's amazing. And it's so simple. If we could just do that, if we could just embrace that, you know what? We wouldn't have traffic accidents and people treat other people the way they want to be treated. Instead of, I got to go around you right now and I'm going to jump in front of you, in the kind of way we do stuff, even on the road. Or whatever. I'm going to blast you with the horn because you made me mad. You got in my way. Okay, and sometimes a horn toot is all right if a person needs it. I understand. I'm not trying to say that. But I'm saying, think about the attitudes that we have when we talk to people or when we treat other people different ways. So he makes it very plain and very simple. Treat people the way you want to be treated. And he said, for this is the law and the prophets. Wow. Woo. That's amazing. The law and the prophets is a euphemism for the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi. All the books in the Old Covenant from Genesis to Malachi. Because that's all the Bible that there was at the time Jesus was on the earth at his first advent. And so he said that'll fulfill everything from Genesis to Malachi if you just treat people the way you want to be treated. You know what? He practiced that. The scripture says he came to his own, and his own received him not. See, he came to them for a good purpose, but they received him not. They said, well, we're not interested in you. What's wrong with you? How can you be Messiah? They started to criticize him. How can this man teach like he does, and he doesn't even know letters? He never went to our school. They had a negative opinion about who Jesus was. They had a very hostile opinion. David said, oh, your mother, and they talked about his mother. She was with child and she was engaged, and they wanted to make an issue about that. Called him an illegitimate child. So they were hostile against him, and they were constantly trying to pick at him to find something wrong or to make you say something wrong so some other people can hurt you. And so that's the way they were thinking. But yet he said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And I came to show you the love of God and to fulfill the scriptures, to fulfill the law and the prophets. I didn't come to abolish it, he said, but to fulfill it. And you know what? He's the only one that ever fulfilled it. It's amazing. They were waltzing around thinking, okay, we're making God happy up here. No, you're not. God is upset with you because you do not understand the basics of what we call the golden rule. That's why Jesus teaches this to his disciples here. So just in closing, our time's about gone. I could talk about this for days and days and days. But I want to say to you, be prayerful about where you are. This is what I'm doing because I need a lot of work. I don't know about you. I'm willing to admit it. I'm willing to confess it. I'm sure I could get a witness if I ask a few people, do you need some help getting some stuff together, changing the way you think, the way you talk, the kind of stuff you do in order to make you more Christ-like? I'm sure I could get some amens. Some of y'all might be saying it right now. Amen. Get him straight there, Lord. Go ahead. Go ahead. That's all right. I understand that. And I need it. So do pray for me. Amen. But the fact is, you and I can be better men and women. And I think it's time for us to tune up our spiritual mindset. Because this is a very, let me call it a ripe time. It's a very ripe season. And the Lord said that when you start to see things like this, like keep an eye on Israel. We're keeping an eye on Israel because God's going to raise up Israel again in the latter days, and their church age will be coming to a close. And so you and I need to be a little sharper about how we do stuff from here going forward. So I want to admonish you, if you've never been saved, by all means, trust Christ today. He loves you just like you are. He's already paid your bill entirely. He's the only one that can make you free from the law of sin and death. He's anxious to do it. And if he hasn't done it for you yet, it's because you haven't trusted him. It's not because of anything that he has not done for you already. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. So he wants to give you an abundant life. And he wants you to have joy unspeakable and full of glory, like Peter says. He wants you to be filled with joy inexpressible. He wants you to know that the one who started that good work in you is able to perform it even until the day of Jesus Christ. He wants you to know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He wants you to know, I will be with you in trouble. Everything you're going through, I'm right there for you. And if you just accept him, all you need to do is extend your hand today to Christ and tell him. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man opens unto me, I will sup with him. He says, I want to come in and dine with you. And so he's waiting on you. You are not waiting on him. He's waiting on you.
I want to invite you right now in these last few minutes here to trust in the Lord better than some of you have. And if you have, I need to ask him to protect you. Okay, ask him to protect you. Ask him to help you. Ask him to give you the strength you need to do what you need to do. Because you know better than anyone else, except him. He knows better than all of us. But we can ask him. That's the first part of that Matthew 7. Ask. Think about the privilege that you can ask. He said that it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. That's why you can open your Bible and start to look for what it is that you need. The right answer for the situation in your life right now. And God says, I will deliver that to you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. The door shall be open. He's going to open up whatever it is that you need to shut for you right now. And he said, whoever asks receives, to him who seeks, he finds, and to the one who knocks, it is open. So if that's not happening, get you problematic. That's fine. I need to knock. I need to ask, and I need to seek. And I always like to think about this. This is why I'm going to close here today, but I'm going to pray with you if you have it. Trust the Christ so you can do it now. A, ask, that's A, the letter A. Seek, that's an S. And he says, knock, that's a K. A-S-K. Ask, seek, and knock. God says, I'm here for you. And accept that and receive it, and you can get somewhere. You can move forward in Christ. This is our cash tag and our P.O. box. If you would like to send a donation, send it here to help us expand. We're looking to do that this year even more so. We've got some grandiose plans to get some things out of our people and our multitudes, and we hope we'll be a part of it. Let's pray. Eternal God, our Father, we bless your name and praise you today. Father, we just want to thank you for your grace and mercy. And Father, we thank you for our church family. Father, somebody praying now that has never been saved and you want them to be saved. That's why you've done all this that you've done. You've centered this whole world around yourself. You have opened blanket forgiveness for whosoever believes in Jesus shall be saved. So Father, right now, save them. Right where you are, fill them with your Holy Spirit. Put the seal of your salvation upon them. Let them know that they are adopted into your family. And that you raised Jesus out of the grave, so not even death or the fear of death should be a problem for us. So, Father, we ask you to bless them right now. Give them everything they need. Guide them to the water of baptism. And help them, oh God, so that they might continue to grow in your grace. And help us all, Father, who are listening and praying right now. We give you the honor today, O God, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we love you, and we hope you love us too. We hope you did get a good word for the message today. Check us out at teachingbible.org online or on our podcast, which is also teachingbible.org. You click on the anchor podcast and pick up those messages we mentioned today. And tune in on this coming Sunday, Lord willing. Hope to see you then. Love you. May God bless you.